Gospel according to Luke. At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, no secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast you into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of the Lord. Around about this time of year, people always start recounting local ghost stories. Hoyt Sherman Place, several old buildings downtown, and of course, Merle Hay Mall, which has a black-clad monk that wanders at night when you're restocking after close, something I knew as a teenager. The black-clad monk isn't real, but where Merle Hay Mall is now was, at least part of it, once upon a time, a Passionist monastery. And the founder of the Passionists is the saint we commemorate today, St. Paul of the Cross. St. Paul's life and passion reflect, I think, very adequately what's going on in these two readings. I like St. Paul of the Cross not only because we have this local connection here in Des Moines, but because he was, for most of his life, kind of a screw-up. He just couldn't get his act together. It seemed clear to everybody around him that he probably had a vocation. He had an uncle who was a priest who kept trying to make arrangements for him to go to seminary, and he'd go and quit and go and quit or go here and try that. Eventually they gave up and tried to set him up with a girl. Nope, not having that. For a while, he just moved into this couple's house to help take care of them as they were getting older, but he had no real connection to them. He was like that strange nephew that can't quite get his act together. And then one day, quietly, simply, in an adoration chapel not unlike our own, his life came together. He developed a very clear notion of what it was he was supposed to do. He checked it with his spiritual director and the local bishop, and it took. And it was that simple. But it involved years of waiting on the Lord and trying at least not to get too frustrated with things not happening right now. The insight that St. Paul of the Cross had was that God is best found, God is most perfectly revealed in the passion of our Lord. And there's a great paradox in the cross because you see God, the omnipotent, the one who can do all things, absolutely powerless, seemingly unable to do anything, even breathe. And that it is in this mystery, in this tension, in this paradox, that the whole of the Christian life abides. Because God, who is absolutely active, is strongest when he is most passive. It's the reason that the community came to be known as the Passionists. It's a kind of a play on words. It's clear, even in the little badge they wear over their heart. The Lord's passion is a passion precisely because he is passive. He is subject to what is happening. And yet there he is most active and passionate. And the Latin has that same tension there, right? We suffer passions, but we are passionate and strong and virile. The leaven of the Pharisees would put down that liveliness inside us. It would subject it. either to ritual or to rule, and it wouldn't account for the lively virtues, which are the only solution, not just to deadly sins, but more often than not, to the malaise that we fall into every day, to the humdrum, mundane, everyday sort of business, which is meant to sanctify, which is what built St. Paul up so that when the Lord spoke, he could recognize what he was doing, but which unattended can cause distraction and frustration and ultimately despair. So we pray together this day that we would be worth the wage that the Lord has promised to give, that we would be open to receiving all the good gifts God longs to pour into us in his own time, on his own timetable, and that we would be able to avoid all that which would put down the lively work of the Spirit that lives and abides in each of us, so that when the Lord calls, we would be ready to answer today, tomorrow, or anytime.